join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Signs of the Times by Bishop Herbert Bailey and Dr. Marcia Bailey.
All right. Let's go to the Word. And we're continuing to talk about signs of the times. And thank God for any of you who are even with us. We're going to kind of blend even what I was teaching on noon Bible study. We're going to kind of blend that in with this reflection and looking to the Word of that her Bishop Jake said, look at the Word, look at the news, look at the Word, look at the news, look at the Word, look at the news. And they're saying the same thing. Signs of the time. Matthew 24, starting 6 and 7, it says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So Jesus is starting to give us some indicators, some highlights, signs, indicators that we are getting closer to the return of Christ. Now, please understand also, I know we say the end of the world. The Bible doesn't speak of the end of the world. That's something man came up with. It's the end of an age. Okay, because after the end of this age, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. God's eternal, and so things will go on eternally, but there will be an end to this age, to this season. Okay, and so we're now in the dispensation of grace that goes from the time that Jesus Christ was resurrected up until the time of his return. After that, there will be, depending again, I've told you all, whether you're pre-trib or post-trib, I am pre-trib. That means that Jesus is coming back before the tribulation period. Now, you can stay here and tribulate if you want to. That's up to you. As to me, I'm getting on the first thing smoking out of here. Amen. That's where my faith is. I done tribulated long enough. Amen. And so if that's where your faith is, God going to take you through the tribulation, then you go ahead and tribulate. But I'm going to meet him in the air. Praise the Lord. And then, of course, and then after that, there'll be the tribulation period. At the end of that, there's going to be a war of Armageddon. There's going to be the wedding feast of the Lamb. All these are things of the end times. And then there will be a new heaven and a new earth where everything is taken back to how it was before Adam ever sinned. Not just in the spiritual as it is for us, but naturally again. That's where the Bible says that the lion will lie down with the lamb. Glory to God. There will be no darkness. Jesus will be the permanent light of the world. And so Jesus is giving us indications in the scripture as to when we are approaching the end of this age. So that was Matthew 24, 6. And then verse 7, nation is going to rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. I don't know how much y'all are even keeping up with the news here in the United States. But right now we have there's major drought going on in the Midwest. Okay, such that there are towns that are importing water. They're importing water, buying water for towns that, like we see the big tanks that come to fuel stations and gas stations. They're filling those with water to go to towns because of, and a lot of this having to do with the heat and global warming and all that. But rivers are not being filled. The oceans is not producing as everything have been, and so as a result of that, there's a lot of drought, and famine is caused by drought. Okay, now the good thing for us in this time is that we really have more of a global economy. So many times, what one nation doesn't have, another nation has, and we're all interrelated. We saw that so much. I don't know if y'all remember what was it. Earlier this year or last year, with that, what was that? In with that strait that the ship got caught in, okay, got caught in sideways and held up everything around the world. That shows how interrelated we are. But I want you to understand that famines come from drought, and we're seeing a lot more drought in the United States. I mean, it's so sad, even, and as a result of that, now we're having all these fires. Fires are coming from drought. Fires are coming from lack of rain and things being dry, and someone could drop a cigarette or have a spark and set a whole forest on fire. There's this town, Greenville, California. It was a small town. The whole town burned down last week. Small town of 800 people. The whole town was consumed with fire. Okay? And so all these things are signs of that we're getting closer to the end. Famine, pestilences, and we can call it variants. We can call it pandemic, epidemic. The Bible calls it pestilences. Pestilence, when there are diseases that are uncontrolled, that are beyond man's ability to control it. And the more we try to control it, it looks like it's getting out of control. So the best thing you can do is wear a mask and take the vaccine, so you can do what we can do. Pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places, meaning strange places, various places, even places that we've never heard of. Okay. So we looked at that, those things, last week, we talked about from Matthew 24 and 24, the rise of false Christ and false prophets who are going to show great signs and wonders. That's why I was teaching on at noon, that people need to understand that a miracle is something that supersedes or counters natural law. That's what a miracle is. And so the Bible says here, I want you to see this, and I was teaching about this at noon, that there are false Christs or false messiahs and false prophets who shall show great signs and wonders. So some people are getting deceived because somebody appears to be working some sign or wonder. But you see here, he says that false Christs and false prophets will also show great signs and wonders. And I even pointed out in noon that the Bible talks about that, that demons and devils who would even cause or perform miracles. So we're not moved as believers by miracle signs and wonders for unbelievers. Do y'all understand? We shouldn't have to go around seeking miracles. I mean, we're always open to a miracle. Come on now. Well, I'm open to miracle. I'm open, instead of raising money, y'all giving money, I'm opening to $15 million falling out the sky. If I can just convince the American government that I should be able to spend it. Okay, because they're going to say it's counterfeit if it wasn't made in D.C. or wherever they say the money's supposed to be made. We're always open to miracles, but we shouldn't have to go around seeking miracles and seeking signs so we say, I'm going to believe God. Okay, Jesus says after he fed the 5,000, okay, I'm telling you, those were some anointed fish sandwiches Jesus gave them. I'm telling you. Because later on, they asked Jesus, after he feeds them 5,000, they eat these fish sandwiches like they have never had before. They said to him, show us a sign. You ain't doing nothing. Show us a sign. Give us something to eat. You know, give us some more of those fish sandwiches. That's what they said. Okay. And Jesus said, you're not asking for this because you believe. Okay. You don't really believe. And so real believers, come on, like I was preaching last week, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're believing God for a miracle to get us out of this fiery furnace. Yep. And God did it. God did that thing. Amen. But even if he doesn't, we're still going to believe God. We're still going to trust God. And we're still not going to bow to the devil. Amen. Amen. That verse, Matthew 24 and 24 says, there'll be fake messiahs. That's the message translation. Matthew 24, 24, message translation. There's going to be fake messiahs, lying preachers are going to pop up everywhere. See, Jesus knew Facebook was going to be coming. I know it's all right. Fake messiahs, lying preachers, going to pop up everywhere. Their impressive credentials, dazzling performances will pull the wool over the eyes of even those who ought to know better. Come on, look at somebody around. Tell them you ought to know better. I'll be honest with y'all. You know, sometimes I know that this is a teaching church. Amen. If you come to this church, you're going to hear scriptures you probably hadn't heard before. You're going to get application you probably hadn't heard before because I take the time to do that. That's part of our brand of ministry. And for you to sit up in this church for I don't know how many years, getting line upon line, precept upon precept, and then get deceived by some false prophet or some video you came across on YouTube, I'm like, you were here, but you must not have been here. Like you're here, but you're not here. You know, we all know the kids who was in class, but they really wasn't in class. Okay. Y'all may have been at the school, but you wasn't in class. Okay. Because the Bible says that when we get rooted and grounded, we should not fall prey to that spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of deception. So it says that they will pull the wool over the eyes of those who ought to know better. You ought to know better. If you've been taught, if you get rooted and grounded, you ought to know better. But he says, I'm giving you fair warning. Let's move on because we want to continue talking about. Now, what are some signs of the times that are in the church? Most of the things that we talked about earlier are things that are just in the earth, in the world. When I say the world, I mean in the earth or on the earth. But more specifically, what are some signs that we need to be looking at and be aware of that's happening in the church, or as Bishop Bailey would say, in Christendom, okay? That's happening in those who are part of the church, part of the body of Christ, okay? Hebrews 10:25. It tells us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is or is becoming or has become. But rather, we should be exhorting one another so much the more as we see the day approaching. So two things are going to be happening as the day approaching. We're going to see people who stop coming to church. Okay? Right now, we're not even talking about that they're lost, that they're not saved. They just don't think church is important anymore. On the other hand, we have the other extreme of people think that you're that coming to church equates to you being saved. You can come to church and not be saved. Okay? The Bible says when the Son of God, in the book of Job, and the sons of God came to present themselves before God, it said, and Satan came too. Okay? So the devil come to church too. I hope he ain't on your row or in your section. Okay? But the devil, so just because you come to church doesn't mean that you're saved. But saved people ought to come to church. Amen. Amen. We ought to get together. We ought to assemble. Which means even during this time, so we can be totally racked with the spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. Or also realize that this thing is demonic.
Right.
It's demonic to try to give people a reason not to come to church. Some of them wasn't coming anyway. Pandemic, epidemic, demic. You want to come to, well, you know it's a pandemic out there. It's a pandemic. I got underlying conditions. And it's underlying conditions. All you folks with your underlining conditions. Underlying. UNDERLYING. Got underlining. Can I just underline this condition and I underline that condition? Boy, I done underlined so many of these conditions. Okay? And but we have to realize that this is working together to fulfill scripture that so many people are forsaking the assembly. And some people, they don't have any underlying or underlying condition. They just think they got something to hang the hat on now. And some, as I said, some of them, it's just that we just got used to doing other things. I get it. I get it. My preference, y'all, we you know, based upon the survey, we probably gonna be going back to two Sunday morning services. I love doing one Sunday service. I can go. I can do one service, be downtown, or go wherever we go, and have brunch. I didn't know there was such a thing as brunch on Sunday. Yes. Go home and be, and actually can watch something on television or a game or something and not fall asleep and be exhausted. I get it. So if I don't have to do two services, and I got used to not, now that's, I get it. It's more comfortable for me being home on Wednesday night. You know, Paul says this. Paul says, he says, I'm caught between, he says, betwixt and in a strait. Mm-hmm. My babies say betwixt and between. Okay. He said, having a desire to go be with the Lord, which is far better. Yeah. But for your sakes, it's better for you that I remain in the flesh, stay here. So Paul says, well, I guess I'll stay here because that's better for you than to do what I want to do, better for me to be with the Lord. There's sometimes, particularly those of us who are called to ministry, we have to do things not because it's most comfortable for us, but because it benefits somebody else. So not coming to church, forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, is a sign of the times. Now, even the church building, okay, they've been saying this for the last, people don't come to church anymore. They were saying this before pandemic. People don't come to church anymore. Don't you build no big church. They ain't coming. People ain't coming. People are not coming to church. People are not going to be gathering at the church. Okay. And now the pandemic, some people saying some left. They ain't never coming back. Okay. And if that's your choice, unfortunately, I have no other choice but to say so long. Bye bye. Okay. And I got to keep preaching the word and keep making altar calls and keep open the doors of the church because somebody's still going to get saved.
Right. Amen.
Somebody was going to realize what we take for granted they needed all their life.
Yep. Amen.
Okay. And so there will still be a harvest of souls.
Right.
Want to say something?
Yeah. You know, the falling away and not coming to church is so strategic. It's from the pit of hell for the last day church. So because Satan knows, because people say, well, you know, I don't need to come to church. I'm streaming, or, you know, I could read my word at home. It doesn't take all of that. And they are, you know, the pandemic, everything, like I said, coming together has created an atmosphere and made it easy for people not to come to church. But this whole thing about us not being in the house of God during a season when this world is getting darker and darker, and tactics and devices are going to rev up, and schemes and plans and plots and ploys is going to be more of a occurrence. The atmosphere of the church that God has called you to is going to be a lifesaver to your soul. So Satan's hoping, and he, you know, he's counting on us being so soulish, flesh driven, you know, convenience minded, that he can get you out from the house, because a revival is coming. The glory of God is increasing. The anointing God is pouring out on his people is becoming, is pouring out profusely. And I mean, it's like a, God has a last day anointing, if you allow me to say, for his people. So the anointing that you were familiar with before is going to be different in the upcoming days. Satan knows that. So he's hoping that you don't get to the house, because God has called his church, the church house, the atmosphere, to be saturated with his presence. That when you come into the house of God, your soul will be soothed. There'll be so much going on in the news and stuff. You stay away from it. Even during the day, midweek, you just like, you know, you great on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you get overwhelmed. That will speed up. That will increase. That will intensify. And so he hopes that you lose your mind before you can get back to the house of God.
Wow. So some things only happen in church. Some revelation you only get by sitting under the word. Some understanding only happens at... How many of y'all have ever come to church feeling down but left feeling up?
Yes, sir.
Feeling discouraged but left encouraged. Feeling confused, but leaving church with answers. Come on now. That God ordained for this to happen in his presence as we come together with a focus. Now, it doesn't mean you can't worship God by yourself, and you ought to worship God by yourself. Amen. There's some ways I carry on by myself. Y'all ain't going to understand. That's between me and Jesus. Okay. There's some way, you know, Pastor Marshall, sometimes he don't even speak English in the house. I'm like, do you know English? Walk around the house, bah, 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 sa. She looked right at me too. Bah, bah, sa, ta, ra, ra, ba, kam, da. She, ta, ra, ba, ka, sa. And I look back at her and say, brahma, ma, se, ke, she, shama, ha, sa. Right back at you. Okay? You know, and so you can spend time with God by yourself, as you should. Amen. As you should. But that does not replace us coming together with the assembly of the righteous. Okay?
You know, people thinking that this is for the church. But it's not for the church. It's for you. So people are like, well, you just want me to come because you need this or you need that. No, you need this. And I think that's what many people are thinking. You're missing out, you know, on benefiting from the presence of God by not coming to church.
Psalm 73. I often read this, how David, he got all messed up because he wasn't at the church. Wasn't in the assembly of the righteous. And he started looking around, and it looked like the people who wasn't serving God was doing better than the people who were serving God. Come on, has ever looked that way to you? He probably looking at their chariot compared to his chariot. Come on, they got those gold spinners on their chariot. You know, he looking at what he calls it, the prosperity of the wicked. Psalm 73 and 2. And he says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone, almost backslid, like some people did during the pandemic when the doors were closed. Let me go on record saying this again, because some of y'all need to hear me. Okay. The Lord reached and said this to me. There are some of y'all, who you were raised in nice homes, nice parents, middle class values, good people, educated environment. People didn't cuss at you. Wasn't any abuse. You know, people taught you how to handle your finances. So even if you didn't get saved, you probably would have been all right. You would have been a good person. Now, you still go to hell. Okay, let's not get it twisted. Now, you're still going to go to hell because we need Jesus to go to heaven. Amen. So you still, whosoever believeth, whosoever believeth not is damned, whosoever believes does not perish, right? So you, but in the earth, you know, you have good backgrounds. You had nice wholesome homes, nice environments. That wasn't my story. Okay, I came from a jacked up family, jacked up background. Okay, and if it wasn't for Jesus, these streets would have got me. Okay, and so some of you would have been okay, but others of us, and I'm saying us, others of us, we needed the church.
Amen.
Amen. Some of us, and some of you watching me, you are no good outside of the church. Your flesh acts up. You just missing a couple services. You cussing like you never knew Jesus. Okay? You know, I see people, they lying to me, tell me they ain't drinking. I grew up around drinkers. I know when people drinking. Sorry, honey. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can tell me you ain't getting high. I can look at high. I see high.
We are living in a time where scripture is being fulfilled before our eyes. Things are happening, and we need to know that Jesus is soon to return. In this teaching, Bishop Herbert Bailey and Dr. Marcia Bailey discuss what we as believers need to know in these times. To order this message, call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rightdirection.info. Just ask for Signs of the Times. As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible Study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.